Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. One of these days I'm going to forget the name of this radio show because I'm old and senile. I'm wore out, as they say.
Well, you've had several.
What's that?
You've had several different shows.
This is true.
This is true.
Plethora of shows.
Yeah. American Outdoorsman. What else have you done?
There was this girl one time back in...
No, not that kind of done.
Oh, I was talking about something else. I don't know. I've been 37 years in talk radio. You'd think I'd get something right someday.
You're still doing it. That's doing something right.
Is it?
Well, I guess you could say that. You've just lost your mind completely.
Yeah. I think, we did some research on this, and several of us did. And I think I'm about the oldest guy ever to do a continuous outdoor show in the United States, best we could figure. Now, there's a guy over in Seattle that does a garden show. I think he's been on 40-some years, or so 41 years. That was the last time I checked, which has been a while back. But I wonder if he's still alive.
Well, and between Toby and my dad, they're over like 55 years of lawn and gardening.
You can't combine them. Come on, Mark.
Well, he did it. Well, it wouldn't continue, but he did it. You know, Dad loved fish. And Dad had called Toby up in the evening, and Toby, before Dad got anything out of his mouth, had said, "Hey, Toby, let me guess, you're going fishing tomorrow." And that meant that Toby had to fill in.
Yeah. Well, you got to go fishing.
Well, heck yeah.
You know, I hear good things about fishing right now.
Well, real quick, though, you say you've got to go fishing, then that's right. If you don't go fishing for 7 days, that makes 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Very weak.
Very weak, yes.
You know, you probably don't even remember this, but about a week ago or so, me and you, one, I think it was Sunday evening or something, when I called you or vice versa, and we were talking about the outdoors. And the people that I know that don't enjoy it, that don't go outdoors. And we were talking about, you know, and they've never heard this spring gobble.
Yeah.
They've never seen the white bass bust the shad up on top. They've never had the pleasure of watching a white-tailed deer walk out across the bean field when you're finally going to get that shot of a lifetime. You know, and they've never hooked up a big fish. And, you know, I have so many people talk to me about this radio show, and they always start the conversation, not always, a lot of times they start the conversation in regards to, boy, I used to hunt and fish a lot.
Yeah, keyword used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that have gotten away from it for whatever reason. But, you know, the one good thing, if there is a good thing about COVID, it seems like it's got a lot of people interested in being in the outdoors again, and that's a good thing. Because all the things you just mentioned and many, many more, it's just hard to describe those feelings, and it saves me. I mean, the stresses that we have in our life, and you get to experience those kind of things, and you can put everything aside and forget about it, all that, and just enjoy yourself.
You know, we went up to the 5 Mile Lane ditch the other night. It's a drainage ditch. It goes into the Missouri River out of Squaw Creek on the west side of Bob Brown. Anybody wants to know where we're at? And we sat there on those rocks and caught fish and caught fish.
Really?
And caught fish and caught fish and caught fish. Worms. Just
in
took
the
a
ditch.
Gob of worms and a piece of split shot and put them out there on the bottom.
Very simple.
And it was, I thought, you know, here we are catching flathead. We caught channel cat. We caught several drum. Man, do they fight.
They do.
And carp. And we caught a little every, because I think that's why I enjoy that spot so much, is the fact that you never know what you're going to catch. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with fighting. We use ultralight, you know, 4-pound test, ultralight rod. Fighting an 8 or 10 pound carp runs down that creek about, you know, 50, 60 yards. And it it's just absolutely bizarre.
Huh.
And Chris hooked one up. And no, we just didn't turn it. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is on the thing. And, I thought, well, or you could be home watching mindless TV.
Yeah, well, you can have that.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, I sat there and it was like a cleansing of the soul.
Isn't that right? Yeah.
It is.
Good way to describe it. Yep.
And I feel so sorry for people who have never been in the outdoors.
Yeah, don't know what you're missing, really.
Have no concept of what's going on.
No. And just, you know, especially when you're out early and you kind of watch the world wake up around you. That's such a great feeling.
There's nothing like it.
No, it's really hard to describe. It's something that you got to experience. And the smell of being out there.
Sure.
I mean, and especially, this is my favorite time of year. We get to the changing of the seasons.
Uh-huh.
And there's just a different smell in the air. And it's just, for me, it's invigorating. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, it's just something about it gets you back in balance. You know, if you, everybody's out of balance, I think. And you're so one-sided, you know, and, you're being a good parent and you're trying to teach your kids soccer, little league, and you run all over the face of the earth.
Trying to make a living.
Trying to make a living. And darn it, stop. Yeah. And smell the roses. One of these days you're going to be belly up.
Yep.
And you get to my age, every day is a blessing. You know, you just go, okay, you know, no deal. So, you know, just somehow in your life, schedule some time to go outdoors.
Yep.
If it's only for 20 or 30 minutes or, you know, don't take a walk in a park. Go out in the real outdoors, not in a city park. That has nothing to do with it. But go to a public wildlife area, you know, and take a walk, you know.
For me, being around water is, you know, that's a lot of it for me. I don't care where it is, if it's a pond or whatever. I love being around water.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, like you say, there's so many parks and just get away.
Yeah. You know,
have a little solitude. Don't have your phone on, you know.
Yeah. Just get away from everybody and everything and be peace and quiet for yourself a little bit, and you'll get balanced back up again. You know, we were on Milford one day, me and you, and the white bass came up and hit the school.
Yeah. Right.
It looks like somebody turned an agitator on under the water.
Well, it makes me feel like a kid again.
Yeah, you know, and you get giddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it cleanses you out. Yeah. I mean, you just finally go, wow, this is pretty darn cool.
Okay, I'm out of here. I got to go fishing.
Yeah, no, really. I hope, and that's the reason we do these shows, is to get people to understand, you know, that there's more to life than sitting there watching a TV and I worry about the Chiefs and I worry about my Tigers and all that stuff, but it still all puts it in perspective when you go in the great outdoors.
Right. You absolutely.
Know, get out there and do it.
Yep.
Go
enjoy
do it.
Enjoy
you know?
It.
Speaking of being in the outdoors, seeing how we were, our good friend Trevin Reed harvested a ram in Montana.
Yeah, and you called me and told me about that, and I thought, wow, that's cool. But then you told me the real story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an unbelievable accomplishment.
Yeah, 2% success.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, and just the landscape and what it takes to be able to make that hunt.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I've always kept this kind of low key, but because I always thought I would probably go back and try this one more time. I spent 10 days up in what they call the Hell Roaring. And I spent 10 days up in there, and it was the best 10 days of my life. And I was slept under a rock, and people go, well, you're nuts. Yes, I am, but that has nothing to do with it. I didn't hear a cell phone. I didn't hear a human voice for 10 days. And something happened to me. I don't know what it was, but it was just absolutely great. In America, sheep hunting is a very expensive proposition in any country. And this is the cheapest hunt you can go on. You can buy a tag over the counter. Do you hear me? You can buy a sheep tag over the counter. The only state left that you can still get that sheep tag. And it's, I think, $1,200 or something like that. I don't remember. Whatever it is way too cheap. if you're a sheep hunter. A lot of sheep hunts, you know, are started at a base price of $65,000.
Good gosh, that's unbelievable. Ouch.
And they bring a lot more. Jimmy John's guy, founder, bought a sheep tag in Nevada for $1,100,000.
Wow.
What? Of course, he's a billionaire, so a million don't make much difference. A thousand million's a billion, and then that's the way it is. Third grade math. Let's see, Mary Mark. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, but keep it in perspective. But this is a cheap tag, and it's in unit five. I think it's five. I'm going off memory here, so don't hold this exactly to me. I'm old. 501, 500, 301, 303, and 302, I think, is right. And those are unlimited sheep tags. So between January 1st and May the 31st, you can buy a tag. Over the counter. I mean, just email them, get them type tag. Now, it's about 16 miles back in on walking. You know, and those guys are carrying 60, 70 pounds on their back, so they got to hate them.
Right.
But I've been back in those areas, and you cannot believe the true beauty, the things that you see. They heard wolves howling. They heard elk bugling. He killed a legal ram back in there. And the success ratio in that area is 2%. 98% of the people fail.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but you don't know until you try. You know, that part of life is failing. Majority of life is failing. And it's like a baseball player hits once out of every four times he's considered himself successful. Well, you go back into those areas back there. And Montana Wildlife and Parks, I love their attitude. They said, you're probably not going to kill one. You're probably not going to see one. But you can sure welcome. There's some in there. But where are they? You know, it's huge. It's like from here to Iowa, you know, the unit. You know, somewhere in there, there's sheep. You know. And the thing about sheep hunting is that they look just like the rocks.
And
if they don't move,
you'll never see
you
them.
Could be on them. You know, I was in there for 10 days, and I finally got on some ewes and lambs that time. Me and Dave Book went in Unit 303 one time, and we never saw sheep. And there's all goats, mountain goats all over the place. We didn't have a goat tag. But they're there. Hmm. But the odds of you'd probably get hit by lightning five times before you would ever harvest a sheep in there.
I just got a message from Greg Thompson. He's got a picture of Trevin's on our website.
Did he put it on there?
Yep.
Good. And I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of that man. I started that and couldn't finish it. I couldn't kill one in there. And he was part of our run. He got in there and got it done.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to see one in there. After all, imaginary line from the front of their horn through their eye and it has touched the bottom of the curl. That's a legal ram. No, on the deal. The one he harvested was 6 years old. It was 3.5 inches legal on one side, 1.5 inches on the other. Hmm. But I'm so proud of him. I was just giddy when he texted me. And the opening day was Wednesday. Ram down. That's all it said.
That's cool.
And I just made my day.
Well,
absolutely made my day.
Go check it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that guy is special. He's the kind of people that you want to be around. That's what he is. And we always talk about his Chevrolet store and all that stuff. That just our kind of people.
Well, couldn't happen to a better guy.
Oh, unbelievable. You know, two tours in Afghanistan. I mean, my goodness, what a guy. You know, bigger than real life, one of those guys.
He is.
One of the guys with him was on SEAL Team 6. They're in there right now.
Yeah, wow.
And, so it's quite an ordeal on the deal. So.
What an honor.
You're listening to, I'm rambling, but go to the Midwest Outdoors website if you'd like to see our...
Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. We have a different producer today, and we judge him on the music that he bumpers back in with. This guy here is a 10 right now.
Yeah, he's off to a good start. Marco, thank you.
Marco, you're a good man.
Marco on the boards. Thank you.
And you think the Chiefs will cover the spread? Is that what we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, I think that they will. I think they'll get – it's three and – the line's at 3.5, and with the Ravens having a hurt offensive line and secondaries not as what it used to be the last couple of years, the Chiefs' high-powered offense, I think that they're – I think they outbalance the Ravens right now, and they could – they can good. I see a touchdown, maybe lead for a win, so 6 or 7 points possibly.
Whoa!
I like the way you think.
Wow! I love that attitude.
The 3.5, maybe it's low because the Ravens are at home. Yeah. They're looking. They're motivated after the Raiders lost last Monday, but I just think they're too hurt right now.
This is interesting.
They don't want to start off with two losses, but
0-2 would be a tough uphill battle, ain't it, boys?
But they seem to have a problem with the Chiefs, so that's all good.
Mm. Well, this is going to be an interesting game. I can't wait. I know that. I think, was the line 5.5 or was I hallucinating again?
It could have been at the beginning. I don't think you were hallucinating. I think, and you know, every sports book's different, too.
Yeah, that's true. We had Brian trying to call in.
Yeah, Brian, call
Brian,
back.
If you could, please, we'd love to talk to you on air. Give us a call back. I don't know what you want to talk about, but we will talk about anybody. Anytime you ever want to call us, all you have to do is call 913-381-0810, 913-310-810. We'll gladly take your call, even after the show's over, because a lot of people get stage fright and don't really want to participate in such a thing. So, Mark, last Saturday, you were so kind, let me have some time off, and
yeah, like I had a choice.
Well, I'm trying to be nice.
Duck season comes; there's nothing holding you back.
We went teal hunting, and at 70 years of age, either the teal have gotten faster or I've gotten slower. I don't know which it is. I think the teal got faster, but we managed to scratch out 11 teal.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great.
And hadn't hardly seen any teal, and got into some, and didn't start till about 8 o'clock.
Oh, really?
We got started working on them on the deal, but so Sunday I went back. No one would go with me. I don't blame them. And so I go up Sunday and sitting on the bucket, and here comes about 30, and they hovered about 10-15 yards out over the top of the decoys and the mojo. And I blew 3 holes in the air.
That sounds like my kind of shooting.
And I went, oh, I'm glad no one was around to see this.
Oh, I wish I would have.
Oh.
But at least you've admitted it.
Yeah. And so the dog is giving me that look.
Like, yeah. You know. Come on.
And, just got reloaded. And here come another flock about the same size.
Wow.
And I blew 3 holes in the air again. And I went, uh-oh, I've aged. I can't do it anymore. I'm slipping, but I'm still having fun.
Well, I can't tell you how this makes me happy to hear this.
To see failure?
Yes.
You're happy?
You give me so much trouble about missing one.
You're kind
of
the Ray Charles of the hunting industry, you know. But next, 2 ducks come in. I croak both of them.
Yeah, that's more like you.
So then the next 2 ducks come in, I croak both those.
Yeah, that's more like you.
Yeah, so I don't know. And you know what I did on both bunches? I should admit this. I shot into the flock instead of picking out an individual bird. And so I blew the holes into the sky in the thing. But, boy, you just forget how good eating these teal are. Oh, people have no idea about eating a green wing. I killed one green wing. But blue wing are, they eat that real fine seed, and they are just edible. That's just all it amounts to. And the boy's fixing some. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to fix them with jalapeno peppers, wrap them with bacon, and put them on the grill for a little bit, you know. Not too much, you know. And it's weird about a teal. You eat one bite of it, you eat 54 bites of it.
Yeah, not near enough.
You know, so what the hey, you know. My phone is blowing up.
We've got a raffle coming up here. It's the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas Mega Raffle. There's 13 prizes. You can get tickets, one for $20, 3 for $50, 7 for $100. The money that is raised for this goes to fund scholarships for the Outdoor Adventure Camp and for the Steve Harper Memorial Scholarship. But they've got some unbelievable prizes. I mean, like a Kansas Lifetime Hunting and Fishing License.
Really?
You can even have a guided hunt, a fishing trip with none other Brent Frazee. Now, that's worth some money, right?
Yeah, there. Brent's a great guy.
Now, how much fun would that be? That you can't even put a price on that.
Yeah. Well, you have, so, Brent's getting older. You got to tie his hook on for him. You can't see anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you have to put up with that plumber's crack. You know?
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's bad deal. Bad old deal.
Yeah.
But there's and that, there's 13. All of the prizes they have are just unbelievable. So go, if you want to get some tickets or get more information on it, go to outdoormentors.salsalabs, S-A-L-S-A, labs, L-A-B-S, .org. That's outdoormentors.salsalabs.org. Get some information.
Now do what? Run that by me. It went by my brain real quick.
outdoormentors.salsa, S-A-L-S-A, labs, L-A-B-S, .org. And you can get more information and get tickets and get, and you can see all the different prizes that they have. But money goes to a great place.
That's step A.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you hearing out of Milford?
Good.
That's what I heard, too. I had
talked
to a guy.
Yeah, the white bass and the hybrids, lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, and big and quality.
Yes. And I hear that I was talking to Vic Ertley. He does some guiding out there. And he fell, broke his hip, and hadn't been able to get out the last couple of weeks. But he's talking to a lot of people. But he's thinking that October is going to be even better than it is right now. And it's just unbelievable right now. So he's thinking, get ready.
Best-kept secret in the United States is Milford.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful lake.
Good.
Good fisheries. I wonder if the walleye ever bounced back out of that lake.
You know, I hear of a lot of walleye being caught. I don't know if they're legal or not, but it just seems like that lake's working good right now. It's not just the hybrids and the white bass. Crappie fishing has been spectacular. Probably one of the better lakes in the entire country if you want to catch blue cats. And I know you do because you love to eat them.
Oh, I just love them. Of course, I love McDonald's, too, but that's beside the point.
All of that's working good.
You really do eat blue cat, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, I gave Blake, our regular board operator.
You wouldn't give none to me.
Well, because I don't want them to go to waste.
Yeah. You know where it'd go, don't you?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But Blake, you know, I gave him some, and he just raved about it. Thought it was some of the best fish he's had. So I just think it's the difference between river fish and lake fish.
It doesn't make any difference. Blue cat are nasty creatures. They eat dead things.
No, they don't.
What?
Not like other, you know, channels and whatnot. They will eat live fish, too. In fact, I had one once that I caught, and it swallowed hook, and I went ahead and cleaned it. It was a pretty good-sized fish, but it had two white bass in its stomach that were fresh, and I was able to salvage the white bass, and I flayed them, too.
Well, you were hungry.
I could. They were good-sized white bass. I mean, and their gills were still red. I mean, they were perfectly fine.
Hey, by the magic of the phone, we got Bud Gordon on here. We're going to talk a little bit about people that go in there. Great outdoors. You guys will be chasing around behind your bird dog here before long, and your feet will be so sore you wish you'd never seen him.
Yeah, I've got all too much experience with that.
Bud, do you think you could help some of these guys chasing behind these bird dogs?
Oh, for the first thing, we can actually get them out there. You know, right now they don't want to get out of their chair and go do anything. So, yeah, first of all, we can get them off and get them walking without pain, and then we can probably get them walking most of the day without pain. You mentioned one of your friends had fallen and broken their hip here.
Yes.
Up on the lake.
Uh-huh.
We had a lady come in yesterday, Mark, whose hip had been broken, pardon me, and had been replaced, and it was popping out. It popped out three times.
Oh.
So it was all rebuilt, right? Oh. As it turns out, she was completely flat-footed, like you are, pronated, right? And she was so flat-footed that her knees actually rubbed when she was walking.
Oh,
so then
wow.
It was gonna pop out again. She was crying in great pain and just moved here from California, and a doctor had sent her over to our facility. I said, don't you have custom insoles? And she says, yeah, they made them out there a long time ago. They had me set up a little crush box. And a crush box insults your intelligence. You know what's going on. And she'd paid $1,000 for them or something, and her hip was still popping up. So I said, please sit down. Let us make you a pair of custom insoles. She said, anything you can do to help me, just tell me what to do. She's not an attorney. And so we built her custom insoles. She had lousy shoes, okay? We still built them anyway. And she got up, and she could walk, and that hip was staying in place and not popping out, okay?
Wow.
I said, the first thing you do when you leave here, you go buy a good pair of shoes. So I went to lunch, and I came back, and by God, there was her car, and she was in there. And she had tears in her eyes. She says, I'm out of pain, but I listened to you. I went and got these shoes good enough. and she'd bought just exactly what I'd recommended, a couple hundred dollars for the pair. We put them in these new shoes, and she came in with her little cane, right, and had to have it just to stand up. And she was walking without her cane because we finally fixed her feet correctly. That actually, it stabilized her hip as well. That's a big deal.
Yeah, well, and if you've got bad feet, it just leads to so many other problems. I mean, I know for a fact, you know, it can lead to ankle pain, knee pain, hip pain, back
bad
pain,
back,
all
back
that.
Pain.
And you know, and I've tried all the other things out there. I've had plaster molds made by podiatrists and had custom orthotics made. I've tried these arch supports, and you know, maybe for some people a simple arch support is all they need, but none of that worked for me, and it was your insoles that did the trick for me. What is different? What do you do different that all these other things that I tried?
If somebody wants a general arch support, I just ask them to go to Walgreens or someplace and buy one of those, because I'm such a fan of not using stuff like that because they really don't work. Both you guys have 2 feet, I hope. And each one of those feet are completely different. Like everybody in your audience,
right.
Your right foot and your left foot are completely different. One arch is longer than the other. One foot's longer than the other. One foot's wider than the other. They're completely, totally different, as different as your fingerprints. So we put the foot in what is called subtibial neutral, which aligns the 3 major arches up in the foot. There's not one. There's 3, which means you have to have a full-length insole. You can't do it with these stupid 3/4 ones. So you line the foot up. All 3 arches are in place. So when you walk, all 26 bones in each foot or in the right position from heel strike to toe off. So you can go out there and follow that dog for probably 6, 7, 8 hours and not have pain because your foot's in the right position all the time you're out there. That's the difference. It's a huge difference, but if you know what you're doing, it's easy to do.
Well, we're running out of time here. Real quick, do you still have the Mark Tobin Midwest Outdoor Special going on?
It's a phenomenal one. Since I'm new on your show, I'm offering $100 off. Our regular price is $300, which is about half to a third what people are charging for custom. But in your case, it'll be $200 through the end of the month.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
If they want to find us, they can find us at 9738 Warnell Road. We're in Suite 100. If they have any questions, call myself or Steve, Bud or Steve, at area code 816-859-5440, and we'd love to take care of you.
Well, anybody out there that's got foot pain, I can't recommend them highly enough. Boy, they've just done miracles for me, and I highly recommend them. Well, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay,
have a
guys.
Good rest of the week.
All right, kid. All right, buddy. We've got to take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We are proudly brought to you by King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com. If you're thinking about a new outbuilding, loafing shed, which would be good for Mark, a hay barn, whatever you're looking for, a place to put your horsey, your combine, a garage, whatever it is, there's no finer people than kingcitylumber.com. Master carpenters, great humans. You'll love them to death. You take a little break. We'll be right back with you. He's all right. He's a good producer.
Marco, nice guy.
Marco, you did a great job. Do a little something extra for you in the pay slip. You're a great guy. The other producer paid us. I got here, the headphones, the coffee was on, and gave us a Rolex watch at the end of the show.
Marco's new.
He's new.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll give us a Mercedes.
He doesn't understand the etiquette here yet.
How about just a Silverado pickup? How about wore this one out? I need a new one. I think I know where I'm going to buy it. Did you hear the commercial in there, the Trevor Reed?
Yeah, right.
He said I'm on a mountain somewhere.
Sounded like he's right.
Yeah,
right here in the
studio. Sounded like he's here in the studio. You know, what the hey? Well, I tell you what, we got Rick Manfredi in here on the show, and Rick, we met several years back, haven't we?
Yes, sir. It was 2012 at the Pheasants Forever. When they had it here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite an event. Who are you with? Tell everybody what you're with here and why you're here.
I'm the national treasurer for National Shoot to Retrieve. They were founded in the mid-80s at Amo, Indiana, by a group of quail hunters that wanted to extend their season. And since that time, it's expanded all over the country. everywhere except for the Northeast. And we have one chapter in Canada. We're getting ready to add another chapter. So we have 31 different regions. I'm also the treasurer of the Missouri-Kansas region. Our president is a gentleman in Sterling, Kansas, by the name of Mark Gillespie.
Mark Gillespie. Know who that is?
Yes.
He's a good human.
He is.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Mark, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, we at one time when the quail population was king, most everybody that was going to go hunting went out and with their bird dog, and when there was that good population of birds, you could train a dog just through a bird season.
Sure.
Well, there's not enough bird population to do that anymore. You have to rely on either a trainer, a hunting preserve, or a combination thereof, and then run your dog in a trial organization such as National Shoot Retrieve. At one time, we had 6,000 members across the United States.
Wow.
Now we have around 2,000, and that was a result of just the depopulation of quail. And that's our game bird that we use. We run starting in September to about the bird season, and then we start again in February, March time frame and run through May.
Hmm.
How we organize it, we have what is called 16 different braces. That's a brace of two dogs. They get on the field for 30 minutes. We place five birds for them in those 16 braces. Each judge has one, or correct, has, each dog has one judge to watch him for the 30 minutes. The dog is scored 1 to 100 on each find or point. The dog has to be intense. We look for the dog being up on both ends, front and back. We like to have a tail between 10 and 12 o'clock.
Wow.
We want intensity. And they really should not be taking steps. If they take steps, we deduct 2 points per step. Then the handler goes up and flushes a bird and shoots it, hopefully.
Uh-huh.
And if the dog moves at any time during that flush, there's no score.
Whoa.
So it's critical that the dog remains steady to wing.
Steady to wing and shot.
Not steady to wing and shot, steady to wing. That's the difference.
So what's the difference between steady to wing and shot?
Well, steady to wing is as soon as the bird flushes, before the shot is, the dog can move. If it's steady to wing and shot, the dog can't move until after the gun goes off.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's still, all this has to be done without a collar. That's what makes our competition very competitive, is that you can find a lot of dogs to do things that you're trained to with a shot collar, but in our competition, shot collars are not allowed. Anyway, after the bird is flushed, the dog can move to get the bird, then the handler can't move. The dog.
Other than that, everything's going okay.
Then the dog has to retrieve the bird to within 3 feet of the handler, and a good retriever will just drop in his hand. Then that dog is scored 1 to 100 on that retrieve.
Wow.
Then they get one opportunity to back. And back is honoring the other dog while it's on point. We score that dog 0 to 75 points. They get 0 to 100 points for ground race. Are they hunting or just running? And then 1 to 75 on obedience. At the end of the day, the dog that has found the most birds, typically 4 finds and 4 retrieves and maybe a back or 5, that dog wins first place. We don't offer any money. People do it just for the points.
Sure.
And they are trying to get that dog a champion in National Shoot Retrieve.
Wow.
It takes 18 points, of which you have to have three first places. And the first place out of 32 dogs is quite an accomplishment.
I would think so.
Yeah, right.
Wow. That's could you do that, Tobin? No. You can't point,
I couldn't be the handler.
You can't point.
I can't sit still. Stand
you can't
still.
Sit still? No. What would you do? Go and point and raise your back leg up or something?
Or lay down on the ground and scratch? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you scratch all the time. we should be on TV. Mark does weird things while we're in the studio.
We have definitely faces made for radio.
Licks himself in weird places. But what the hey. Man, I tell you what, this is so involved. You were showing me the handbook.
Yeah.
This is a rule book.
A rule book on this thing.
And it's got quite a few rules. We've had a lot of instances come up. We pay our judges to make judgment calls within this rule book. But even though it's pretty thick, every once in a while something comes up that's
really?
Not in the rule book that the judge has to make a call on.
Wow.
And so we back our judges.
Hard to believe there's not something covered in that book.
Well, big as that is, my goodness.
How many of these events do you have a year?
Missouri, Kansas, Mokan region, is the whole state of Kansas. And the state of Missouri, west to from the state line to east to Highway 13.
Wow.
And within that, we have six or seven field trials per season, of which we have some in Sterling, Kansas. We have some down by Fort Scott. We have one coming up in 2 weeks, a week from today, actually. In Lewisburg. Mine is in Rich Hill on October 16th and 17th. Our membership is on the upscale. I think bird populations are going up.
Yeah, they're back.
But when I first started in Shoot Retrieve in the mid-80s, there was a lot of women judges. Not a lot. I mean, there were women judges. There were women handlers. And it was a good atmosphere.
Sure bet.
And it still is. But we're starting to get more women handlers and a family atmosphere, and that's what we want to have. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be competitive. But we have to maintain a situation where it's friendly competition because, you know, we don't get anything except for points. And it's the satisfaction of a guy training his own dog, which we can. There are trainers. A lot of people use trainers, but the satisfaction of training your own dog and seeing it compete with another dog—that's the best satisfaction.
What's the dog of choice? I mean, what's the majority of them?
Well, they're all pointing breeds.
Uh-huh. Pointing lab would qualify in this or not?
Pointing lab would not be fast
okay.
enough.
All right,
because we have 25 to 30 acres fields, and, so there's five birds in that 25 to 30 acre field. So the idea is to beat that other dog with your dog.
Are you being timed?
30 minutes. You get 30
That's
minutes.
That's it, regardless. But if you get down in 15 minutes.
You still have to stay there. There could be a leftover bird. You never know.
Oh.
Generally, when I started, there was a lot of pointers. Now it's a mix between English pointers, English setters, Brittany's, German Shorthairs. Those four breeds are dominated. Every once in a while, we'll see a red setter or Irish setter, not very often though. And sometimes a Vizsla will come in, but not that often. Most of our winners in Shoot Retrieve are the pointing breeds I mentioned.
Yeah, Ferrari-looking dogs, I call them. Do you judge them?
I judge. I'm a qualified judge. I've judged in regional championships. We have five national championships throughout the country. We just had one in Montana. We have two in Amo, Indiana. We have one in Waverly. Waverly, Nebraska. I chaired that trial, and I judged the pretrial for that. And I've run everything except for German Shorthairs, but I generally run English setters and Brittany's.
Is there such? I'm notorious for dumb questions. Can they be perfect?
There is no perfect dog.
Okay.
There is no perfect handler. But what we strive for is as close to that as we can. because it's so competitive.
Sure.
And there's nothing like, for me, and I'll use the English Setter as an example, of judging a field and going over a hill and look seeing that English Setter on point with his tail up in the air,
yeah,
and nothing's moving except for the feathers on that tail.
Wow.
And it's just awesome to me.
Well, that's a cool this thing is cool.
Yeah, like you said, what a great way to extend your season. I mean, no better way.
You know, I always go back to the family aspect of this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
The wife, the kids can all be involved. They can bond with the dog. They can bond together as a family. It is a tremendous thing to do.
Well, you know, we need young people.
Sure.
So many of them carry the cell phone around, and they don't get that interpersonal relationships with other people. They're not, just like you were talking about, getting outside. This gives them an opportunity to go outside and do something that their fathers enjoy and their mothers enjoy, and get them in this sport. We need more activity from our youth.
I mean, let's take bad scenarios, I guess, for a little bit here. The dog just runs through the birds and doesn't do it. I mean, is that bought dog automatically disqualified?
Well, we can pick up dogs for certain things. The main thing that happens, if a dog is on point and you bring your dog in as a handler to try to get a back, and that dog picks the bird up or steals point and then takes the bird out, if you do it twice, the judge should pick that dog up. And then
take
we
him
have,
out of the competition.
Then we have to get a by dog to come in and finish that brace.
Wow!
And but you never know. Dogs know when there's 20 pickups out there, and they've been waiting all day to go out there. They get excited.
Sure.
And that's why you have to train the dog without a collar to that ultimate goal is to have them perform without a collar.
Yeah.
And
it's
a feat. It's quite a feat. And the dogs, to me, that you can do that with, they're all as close to perfect as they can be.
Okay, now you're talking about the tail being almost straight up and he's locked up. You look for style. I've seen the dogs raise that one foot, you know, and it's such a picturesque thing to see. You know, they stand there on three legs instead of four. Does that enter into the judging on this at all?
That's the criteria that we go to this judging book. And there is certain criteria like the tail, that you want an intense dog. You don't want them to move. You know, if another dog comes up and circles around them and they still don't move, that raises the score.
Really? Cool.
I mean, it's to see a dog that well trained and performs that well, it raises the score, 91, 96.
Wow. Is this genetics? I mean, is this the bloodline? Is that what's going on here?
There's quite a bit of genetics. That's the other thing we do is when we compete our dogs, and we only breed the best of the best, so that does raise genetics. And there's a lot of good dogs out there in every breed.
Hmm. Well, I tell you what, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, all right, now then, the dog goes out, you shoot the bird, he doesn't bring it back. Is he disqualified again?
No, he just does not get a score for that retrieve.
Okay.
He didn't interfere with the other dog. If you, as a handler, you miss a bird, I know, Fred, that you don't think that happens, but it does.
Yeah.
So when that happens, and if it's a what we call a blind retrieve for that dog, that bird goes over the hill, and the handler still has to stand there out of sight of the dog, but the dog picks that bird up and brings it right back to him, then that's a really good score.
That's a good score then, huh?
Right.
Wow.
We are visiting with Rick Manfredi. He's the National Treasurer for the Missouri-Kansas Division of the National Shoot to Retrieve Association. Are you limited to how many people can compete in these events?
We're only limited to 16 braces. Most of our trials right now have been filled, but I would urge people, if they want to compete, and we'd love to have them come out and see us, just go to nstra.org. That's nstra.org. Click on regions. The regions will come up. We have 31 different regions. Go to MK for Missouri, Kansas, MOCAN. Click on that. You'll see Mr. Mark Gillespie's address number. Then on the lower left, you'll see View More. Click on that hyperlink, and that pulls up our entire schedule for this fall. And you can see our trial chairman address, telephone number, and let them know that you want to compete. If you got a dog that you think is ready, what you can do is call National Shoot to Retrieve. The number's on the website. They have to be a registrable dog, and send a copy of your AKC or American Field Registration to the office. They will enter it in the system. You pay a membership fee for a year of $75. With that membership fee, you get a bi-monthly magazine, which is really nice.
Cool, yeah.
And the privilege of running your dog in Shoot to Retrieve events. If you have a family that wants to join in, a son or a wife, whatever, you can get what is called an associate's membership for $20 more.
Well, cool, yeah. Great. What? I mean, would it bother? I mean, does it bother you guys if people just want to come and watch
Absolutely. This
thing?
We encourage them to come. And we'll meet them there. We'll show them around. We might even sell them a dog.
Might do it before it's over with on a deal.
So and you do offer that? I mean, you can? Can people buy a dog from you?
Well, there's always – we always
– somebody call breeders, you yeah. know, I suppose.
There's always somebody that has pups.
Yeah.
And
do they come to those events, obviously?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes
– that'd be cool.
Even brain pups.
Yeah.
But there's always people that have puppies and want to help you get started.
Yeah. I felt we had one with the fundraiser for the Scouts with Serta up at Holt, Missouri that time. And
John Serta, I know him well.
Yeah, and don't seem to be seen in public with him. But anyway, we just kidding, John. But there was a guy up there, and I'll never forget it. That dog was worth about 8 cents, and that was being real nice. That dog just didn't have it, you know, and he had worked with him. He tried, you know, it was just, he was a dud. That's all there was to it. You know?
The funny thing about dogs, you can see a dog that you really like, and you can train him in your backyard or if you've got access to a field somewhere. But you put him in a competition, you see a different dog a lot of times, and it's not the dog that you anticipated.
Yeah. And, you know, I think all dogs mean well. I think they really want to please you, you know, but something happens. I don't know whether, kind of like Tobin here, once in a while he goes astray and I have to hit him with a stick, but just kind of odd. Do you think you'd like to do this, Mark?
Oh, it sounds fun.
It does.
And I mean, there's nothing that I enjoy more than watching a dog work a field. There's just something about that. And like you said, when you see them lock up, that is just, it gives me goosebumps. It's so cool. That reminds me of my childhood. That's what we did. We'd go out. It was a place up in Breckenridge, Missouri. My dad would take us up there, me and my younger brother.
Yeah.
And they put out quail and pheasant and some chucker. And we had a pointer. And it was just so much fun to see that dog. Like, because you know there's a bird there. And it just, like, anticipation is great.
Yeah, so on the retrieve of these birds, if the dog's chewing him up a little bit, does that discount?
That discounts quite a bit. Yeah. They shouldn't be rolling it around in their mouth. What they should not tear the bird up. A lot of times, if you shoot too close, you can destroy the bird.
Bird up.
But so that dog still has to bring a piece of that bird back.
Okay. All right. Wow. 2 minutes. Doesn't take long.
No, that was quick.
Again, how can I get a hold of you guys?
nstra.org, and that pull that down regions. Go to the region you want. In this case, it would be Missouri, Kansas. Click on View More, and then you can see all of the field trial chairmen for this fall. It will change again December 1 for the spring trials.
Rick, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
It means a lot to coming in here and being part of our show. It really, really does. So we appreciate that probably more than you'll ever know.
Yeah, have fun with that. Hopefully some new people will get in into this and have fun.
Yeah, it goes back to get your family involved.
Absolutely.
Get the kids involved. Get the wife involved on the deal. Take them in the great outdoors. Watch the dogs work. You'll get more out of it than anybody. I mean, it's just the way it is on the deal. So, have you got a lot of kids participating anymore?
We're starting to get more. In fact, I was at Salina last weekend, and a young couple brought in their daughter. Someone sold them a dog or gave them. I think they may even gave them a dog. And they're ready to compete. They want to get that dog trained.
Cool.
So hopefully they're hooked.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in here. Teal season is great, guys. Teal just showed up yesterday and day before. I just got a text from Chris Wakel, says best teal season he ever had. Though, if you got a place to go teal hunting, Bob Brown, Nottoway Valley, I highly recommend.
And go fish.
Go fishing if you can.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're biting everywhere.
Yeah, so, I don't know. So far, things are looking pretty good for a year. It's supposed to be so down. It's looking pretty darn good to me. So we'll just see what happens on the deal. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.